From me. Happy even. Anantat. Unlimited in strength and opulence. Parata parasmat. Higher than the highest. Swarga bavarga aripatahe. Able to bestow happiness. Obtainable by living in the heavenly kingdom. By liberation. Or by enjoyment of material comfort. And then liberation. Not. Kinchid. Anything. Yesham. Of whom. Kim. What need. O. Siat. Can there be. Iturena. With any other. Desham. Of them. Akinchananam. Without needs or without possessions. Mayi. Unto me. Bhakti Vajam. Executing devotional service. Translation. I am fully opulent, almighty, and superior to Lord Brahma and Indra, the king of the heavenly planets. I am also the bestower of all happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom and by liberation. Nonetheless, the Brahmanas do not seek material comforts for me. They are very pure and do not want to possess anything. They simply engage in my devotional service. What is the need of their asking for material benefits from anyone else? So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The perfect brahminical qualification is stated herein. Akinchananam mahi bhakti vajam. The brahmanas are always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Consequently, they have no material wants, nor do they possess material things. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila, 11th chapter, text 8, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the position of pure Vaishnavas who are anxious to return home back to Godhead. Niskinchanasya bhaga bhagavad vajon mukasya vaja non mukasya. Those who actually want to return back to Godhead are niskinchana. That is, they have no desire for material comfort. Chi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises, Sandarshanam Vishayanam Ata Yoshitam Cha Hahanta Hanta Visha Bhakshanato Pyasadu. Material opulence and sense gratification through the association of women are more dangerous than poison. Brahmanas who are pure Vaishnavas always engage in the Lord's service and are devoid of any desire for material gain. The Brahmanas do not worship demigods like Lord Brahma, Indra, or Lord Shiva for any material comfort. They do not even ask the Supreme Lord for material profit. Therefore, it is concluded that the Brahmanas are the supreme living entities of this world. Sri Kapila Deva also confirms this in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 3rd canto, 29th chapter, text 33. Tasman mayarpita shesha kriyartatma nirantaraha mayarpitatmana pumso may sanyasta karmanaha napashyami param bhutam akartu samadarshanat. The Brahmanas are always dedicated to the Lord's service with their bodies, words, and mind. There is no better person than a Brahmana who thus engages himself and dedicates himself to the Supreme Lord. Okay? Matopyanantat parata parasmat swargopavargadipater nakinchit yesham kemusyaditarena tesham akinchananang mahi bhakti bhajam. So, Omagana Timirandasha. Granjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tayas Vai Shigurave Namaha. So it's very interesting that the word Brahmana can indicate different classes of living entities according to the context in which you find the word. Just like you have ritualistic Brahmanas, or you have Vipras who are very educated in things, and then you have the Vaishnava Brahmanas. So here, what Lord Rishabhadeva is talking about are Vaishnava Brahmanas. And actually, in one sense, those are the only Brahmanas. The reason I say that is because, as we mentioned in a previous class, the definition of Brahmana is he who knows Brahman. And let's say, for example, you know Brahman, the Brahman effulgence, but you only partially know Brahman. Or if you know the Brahman effulgence and you know Paramatma, then you still partially know Brahman, because you're only knowing the Sat-Chit, Sat and Chit aspects of the Lord. But when you know Bhagavan, you know Sat-Chit and Ananda. So really, Vaishnavas are the only Brahmanas, but you don't want to go around telling people that, because they get very upset, especially if you're doing interreligious dialogue here in Fiji. If you say, we Vaishnavas are the only Brahmanas. The rest of you are, you know, Brahma Bandhus or wannabe Brahmanas or Brahmanas in name only. Because Prabhupada is very specific about this in this purport. He says, they have no desire for material comfort. So we can understand using logic, if someone has desire for material comfort, they're not a Brahman. There's something called a syllogism in logic. You say, if a Brahman, no desire for material comfort, right? So you turn that around. If not a Brahman, if desire for material comfort, then not a Brahman. Think about it. I don't know if any of you studied logic. Logic, it's called a syllogism. That's a fancy word for all of you. So you can't turn around completely. Let's say if you say, if a Brahman, no desire for material things, you can't turn around and say, if no desire for material things, then a Brahman. There's a difference between the two. But you can negate the second part, and then you can negate the first part. Anyway, I'm not going to give you a logic class right now. But in any case, if someone has any desire for material comfort, he's not a Brahmin. So I guess we got a bunch of Brahmin Bandhus here. Brahma Bandhus, you know, in the temple. Because we want material comfort. Pretty high standard. That's the standard of pure devotional service. So those who are pure Vaishnavas, they're automatically Brahmanas. I'll give you an example. Let's take the story in the Krishna book of the ritualistic Brahmanas, the Yajnik Brahmanas. Yajnik means they like to do sacrifices, or as you say here, havans. You use that word? The havan. That word is not a Sanskrit word, actually. That's a Hindi word. So it's yajnas. You know, that's a Sanskrit word. Anyway, so they like to swaha a lot. And a brahmana, generally, the ritualistic brahmanas would keep a fire burning in their house. Every day they would do a fire sacrifice in their home. So these ritualistic brahmanas, they were quite expert in performing all these havans. And they were getting ready for a big sacrifice. At the same time, Krishna and his coward boys, they started to get hungry. Actually, the coward boys went to Krishna. And they said, my dear Krishna, we're hungry. Actually, we can understand that Krishna's pure devotees are not really, let's see, under the jurisdiction or control of material hunger and thirst. But this is Yogamaya. So by the influence of Yogamaya, because they love Krishna so much, they actually forget that they're hungry. There's no question. It's just like even when you have a big festival here and everyone's dancing and chanting, hopefully you forget that prasadam is coming. I've seen that. Sometimes you have the big festivals and everyone's dancing and chanting. It's 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock, and I'm saying, when is it going to end? And then finally you eat prasadam at 11. So these coward boys, they said to Krishna, "We're hungry." And then Krishna said, "Well, we can take care of that. There's some ritualistic brahmanas nearby who are doing a sacrifice, and they have plenty of ghee and other nice things. So we're going to send you, coward boys, to beg, but not in my name. Don't beg in my name, because they don't really know I'm God or respect me too much or love me too much. But you should beg in the name of Balaram. And the reason you should beg in the name of Balaram is that Balaram is at least a Kshatriya. Everybody knows that. You understand? Because Balaram was born, you know, Vasudeva, Rohini. Now, Balaram is known as Rohini, Nandana, both Kshatriya people. Whereas Krishna generally was understood to be a Vaishya. So, you know, if Brahmanas are going to give charity, they generally won't give it to a Vaishya. I mean, sometimes they'll give it to a Kshatriya. But, you know, Vaishya, he should do his own business. Right? He should open up a restaurant or something like that. So Krishna said you should ask in the name of Balaram. So the coward boys went there to these ritualistic brahmanas. And of course, Balaram is also God. In India, we know him as Dauji. Isn't it? Dauji Maharaj. You go to the temples, is it Balaram? Didi is it? Dauji Maharaj, ki joy! Remember? And sometimes there's a giant deity of Balaram, a little deity of Krishna. You remember that temple? There's this Dauji temple. It's a very, very nice temple in Anior, the city of Anior. And it's an ancient temple. The Dauji deity is 5,000 years old, installed by Brajanava, Krishna's great-grandson. So when you go in there, this big, big deity of Dauji, Balaram, and Krishna's like about this small. But actually, there wasn't that much difference in height. Wasn't it Krishna was this big and Balaram was that big? I mean, they were more or less the same age. I mean, just maybe a year difference. So what happened is the coward boys went there, and the brahmanas basically, it's described in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Kavi Karnapur, the brahmanas didn't even look at them. They said, you know, oh, best of the brahmanas, oh, whatever they said. We're here to ask some food for Balaram. They also added Krishna because, I mean, they couldn't avoid. Even though Krishna told them not to ask in his name, still they said Krishna. Because, anyway, they love Krishna. How could they not say Krishna? So they asked, and the ritualistic brahmanas, they didn't even look at the coward boys. It's just like they ignore them. Who are these little puny? It's like ants coming in the room that you try to ignore them. And so the coward boys went back to Krishna and they complained. These ritualistic brahmanas, they didn't even look at us. So these ritualistic brahmanas got a reaction for that. We'll tell you about that. So what happened is that Krishna said, all right, basically you should go to their wives. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because their wives were the real brahmanas and the husbands were not brahmanas. By the same definition we're applying here. So you should go to their wives and ask them, in my name, tell them I'm hungry. So the coward boys walked back and they said to the wives of the brahmanas, my dear Brahmaputnis, that Krishna is hungry. And the wives of the brahmanas, without even thinking, took all the ingredients for their husband's sacrifices away from them. Poor husbands, you know. They were getting ready to do their yajnas, and all the ghee was gone. And all they could use was soybean oil after that, like you use here for cooking. So they the wife just grabbed all the ingredients and then rushed to Krishna Balaram. So in the meantime, they ignored their husbands, just like their husbands had ignored the coward boys. So they were walking to their husbands saying, where are you going, dear? Or Priya, or whatever they call their wives. And the wives just ignored their husbands, just walk like in a trance. Krishna wants it. It doesn't matter what this creep wants is saying to me. Can you imagine? That's real renunciation, isn't it? It doesn't matter what Maya is saying to me. I'm going to serve Krishna. We have to have that same determination. Because Maya will say so many things to us. You have so many responsibilities, so much to do. You don't have time to chant the holy names. Later on, when you get older, you can chant the holy names. You can give up everything and chant. Like Prabhupada said, when one old gentleman wanted to join our movement, the gentleman wanted to give all of his money to his family, and Prabhupada said, "We're just getting an old man, and your family's getting your money." So the brahmanas were not listened to by their wives, and the wives went and they brought everything to Krishna and they presented everything to Krishna, and actually the wives experienced a little bit of conjugal attraction for Krishna. It's amazing. Although it really wasn't their particular position. And Krishna said to the wives, when they wanted to stay with him, the wives of the Brahmins, he said, basically what he said to the gopis, just remember me and go back and do your duty. But the wives of the Brahmins followed Krishna's instruction. Whereas the gopis, they had so much love for Krishna that even when Krishna gives them instructions, they don't follow. You understand? Don't imitate that. That you have so much love for Krishna, you don't follow Krishna's instructions. So Krishna said to the gopis, you go back and just remember me, everything will be all right. And they said, no, we're not going to follow your instructions. And another thing, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have Lord Nityananda, who was ordered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not to come see him in Jagannath Puri. He said, just preach. Stay there in Bengal, Mayapur, Navadvip, and preach. And he came anyway. He disobeyed Lord Chaitanya's instructions. So an exalted devotee pleases the Lord by disobeying the Lord's instructions, whereas an ordinary devotee like ourselves pleases the Lord by obeying his instructions. So when you get to the level of the gopis, then you can argue with Krishna. You can exhibit your man. You understand anger towards Krishna. And Krishna will love it. But if you do that now, finished. So be very careful. So the ladies went back to their husbands. And basically their husbands realized that their wives were greater than they were. In fact, in the Krishna book, it describes the husbands said certain things like, the hell with our brahminical, our being Brahman is the hell with it. Our wives are actually great devotees. But still, Prabhupada describes they didn't have the faith to go to see Krishna. The brahmanas didn't want to go to see Krishna. Why? Because they were afraid of Kamsa. The Kamsa would get angry with them. And sometimes it's like that if you have some political pressure from someone, even you can't go see their enemy, even though you like them. Or you have to sneak and see them. So the brahmanas were very much... So in other words, they were not actually niskinchanasha, as described here in this verse. It's a very important verse. Niskinchanasha bhagavat bhakti bhajon mukasha. That's Lord Chaitanya's statement. They were not free of material desires. They were not free of fear. They were not free of anarthas. Kama krodha mada matsarya varyabhaya. So in essence, the point I'm making, in essence, they weren't really brahmanas. And who were the brahmanas? The wives. Interesting, isn't it? So automatically a Vaishnava becomes the best of the brahmanas. Even if they're born in another family. Like Prahlad Maharaj, for example. Prahlad Maharaj was born in an Asura family. His nice father, Hiranyakashipu, was a child abuser. Isn't it? Just like parents should treat their children nicely. In Fiji, in all civilized countries, there's rules about beating your children, right? Still people are beating their children. But Hiranyakashipu was more than beating Prahlad Maharaj. He was attempting to kill him. Imagine if someone poisons their kid in Fiji. What would happen? They go to jail, right? Or puts their kid under, of course there's no elephants here, puts their kid under the car and runs him over. Or throws their kid off of one of the mountains here. Or gets a mobile phone for their kid. No. So imagine. But Hiranyakashipu was doing these things, yet Prahlad Maharaj, he had no fear. So even though he was the son, the putra, the son of a demon, isn't it? A demon sampradaya, or whatever, then he was considered a Brahmin. Because he knew Brahman. Because he was completely devoted, had no fear, no anarthas like that. Another example of someone who was supposedly a Brahmin, wasn't a Brahmin, is Shukracharya. Shukracharya, actually that very name indicates he's not a Brahmin. Because he's the Acharya of Shukra. That means a seminal Acharya. In other words, he's attached to his family and the family heritage and everything like that. And he's not situated in the Brahman platform. Brahmabhuta, Prashanatma, Nashoshiti, Nakanshati, Samaksarveshu, Bhuteshu, Madhvaktim, Labhate, Param. The Brahman platform is preliminary before one can take up devotional service, right? So, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma, one becomes very happy. So, Shukracharya was simply interested in his family. When it came time, and his prestige, and his riches, and when it came time to advise his disciple, Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj wanted to offer everything to Vishnu, and Shukracharya said no. Shukracharya said, no, we worshipped him before, but that was for our own purposes. Because Shukracharya was previously advising Bali Maharaj to worship Vishnu. But like the prayer, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari, Swami Jaya Jagadisha Hari, make my kingdom successful, Swami Jaya Jagadisha Hari, give me plenty of sona, Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Right? Gold. Give me plenty of wives. Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Om Swami Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Kali Yuga, one wife is enough. So when it came time to the ultimate test, when Lord Vishnu actually wanted something, then he said, don't give it to him. And that shows that he wasn't a Brahmin. He was Shukracharya. And therefore, he had to be rejected. So that's the point. Like if someone is not qualified to be a Brahmana, there has to be some system, but where it is ascertained whether he is actually a Brahmana. There should be, just like you have here in Fiji, this certification of pandits, right? What do you have to do to become a pandit in Fiji? You have to kiss the feet of the head pandit. I'm just saying feet right now. So you have to go up to the head pandit, Mr. Sharma, whoever it is, and says, you know, I'll give you a portion of whatever donations I get. Basically, I don't know if it's exactly like that, but you don't have to exhibit any qualities, you know. There's no quality like sama, dhamma, tapak, shocham, shanti, rajam. Are you equipoised? No. Are you self-controlled? No. Do you study the Vedas? No, but I know the mantras. Are you a devotee? No. Do you eat meat, fish, and eggs? Yes. Do you gamble? Yes. Do you drink kava and liquor? Yes. Okay. Here's your Brahmin certificate. So it's the business. Actually, it is the business of the government. Prabhupada did say, it is the business of the government to really certify people who are Brahmanas. And actually, in ISKCON, we are trying to do that. Especially, it's a very interesting discussion they're having on the in some of the leadership right now as far as the guru issue. Because a guru is supposed to be a Brahmin. I mean, you definitely don't want to have a guru who is a Malecha or something like that. It's really not recommended. I mean, you can have a guru in the sense of a teacher who teaches you how to fix cars or something like that. But you can't have a spiritual guru who is not a Brahmin, or else you can only progress as far as that person is progressing. So in ISKCON, we have this whole discussion now about, like, how to certify gurus. Because some people say the original Vedic system is you don't certify them, you just let the buyer beware. You understand? Let the buyer beware. It's called caveat emptor. That's the Latin for it. You just let people, understand. Is he a Brahmin? Because generally people in Kalo Shudra Sambhava, people around the platform Shudra, they can't understand who's a Brahmin and who's not a Brahmin. If someone came with long enough hair, then you would just surrender to him, and had twinkly little eyes. Just like one time I was joking with someone. I said, well, if I want more disciples, I have to have blue eyes. So I'm going to go to the optician and get these, what do you call those? Contact lenses. Because in America, you can buy contact lenses with different color eyes. Can you do that here too? So I was thinking, maybe that'll make me more successful. Just put blue eyes. Because people are so stupid in Kali Yuga that if you have blue eyes, people think, he has eyes that look right to your soul. Isn't it? I've heard that statement about people, devotees with blue eyes. So I was thinking blue eyes, maybe blonde hair too would be good. So the point is that in Kali Yuga, people have no discrimination. So at least it's the business of the Krishna conscious movement to ascertain whether people are at least meet the minimum qualifications to be brahmins or gurus. I mean, there has to be some system of certification. It's not just that you let anybody come out and put a brahmin thread on, take up a danda, and that's it. So we have in ISKCON this process for, I wouldn't say so much approving gurus, but at least screening to see whether people are qualified. So that is the business, or that should be one of the businesses or responsibilities of the leaders of society to ascertain who is a Brahmin. We're not just talking about gurus, but a Brahmin who is actually qualified to lead society. Because the Brahmanas are the natural leaders, the gurus of society. The sannyasis are the leaders of the Brahmanas, the gurus of the Brahmanas. But nowadays it's not functioning because people don't have respect for the Brahmanas here in Fiji. It's like hire a pundit. What is it? You get a toll-free number, 1-800-PUNDIT. You hire a pundit and they have a certain price for doing their pundit stuff. And nobody respects them anymore. Or most people don't respect the pundits. So there has to be some system like that. We have to make sure that brahmanas are actually functioning in that way. And unfortunately in ISKCON, it's a little too loose right now. And the brahminical initiation should be given very, very carefully. Prabhupada said first initiation can be given very liberally to encourage people. It's preliminary. But the second initiation, people must vow to try to develop these qualities. People must associate with the mode of goodness, to develop the mode of goodness. People should rise early in the morning. That's part of being a Brahmin. If you're rising at 9 o'clock in the morning, you're not a Brahmin. I mean, unless you're very sick. I mean, there's certain circumstances. But it's not. Because a Brahmin, the morning time is the mode of goodness time. When it comes time to about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, that's passion. And at night is ignorance. If you ever had anything to do with a nightclub, that's when people, they call that nightclub, not a day club. Right? Although people go there in the day too. They just keep all the lights, keep all the curtains drawn or no windows or something. You don't want to have windows in your nightclub. It's very disturbing to the people. So anyway, there's different times of the day, different types of food, different types of determination. Krishna gives all these points, makes all these points in the Bhagavad Gita. So that's what it means when someone takes second initiation. They should be cultivating the brahminical qualities to know Krishna, be ready to become this kinchanasya. Nyabhi lashita shunyam gyani karma anavritam anukuyena Krishna. They should have that as their goal. They may not be at that platform right now, but that should be their goal, to come to that platform. You understand? So, any questions or comments? We have a few more minutes. Questions, comments about being a brahmana instead of a brahma bandhu, or friend of a brahmana, relative of a brahmana? That's what we need here in our Krishna consciousness, but leaders of society. No questions? Rupanuga, you have to come up with a question at least. Nobody likes to ask questions here. What we're going to do in future programs, we're going to have people write their questions out beforehand and you put them in a box. The program is called the Magic Box. You ever seen that? They put all the questions in the box and then I pick them out. Because people are too shy to ask questions. Unless Nishinga is here, he's not shy. But his questions are another issue. Any questions? No, amazing. Rupa Nuga, you have to ask a question. Faith. Yeah, well, faith is described, yasya devi pura bhakti yuta devi vidita kuru tashayate katita yarta prakashante mahatma. One who has faith in Krishna, faith in the Vedic literature, faith in the Guru, then things get revealed to him and he gets a taste. You have to trust. Faith is trust. Trust in the process of Krishna consciousness. So that's the preliminary point, the foundational point. Ado shradatata sadhu sangota bhajana kriya. In the beginning, one must have that faith. And that keeps one strong. If you don't believe in what you're doing, if you don't believe that what you're doing is going to accomplish your goal, you're not going to be focused on that. If I don't believe that chanting Hare Krishna is going to bring me to pure Krishna consciousness, or to save me from this material world at least, or connect me with Krishna, then I'm not going to be focused on it. So the test of one's faith is whether one is focused or not, whether one is determined. Because I believe. For example, everybody knows I wake up early every morning because I believe, I have complete faith in Prabhupada's instructions that by waking up early and chanting in japa, then I'll achieve my goal in life. And those who may not wake up early, other than people who are sick or something like that, then that means that where's the faith? If you believe something, let's say if I say to you, Rupanuga, I'm going to give you $1 million if you stay up all night tonight and don't sleep and chant Hare Krishna all night, and you believe it, you'll do it. If I put the $1 million in someone else's hand, otherwise you wouldn't believe me. But isn't any of you, if I said $1 million, you have to chant Hare Krishna all night, with attention, you'll do it because you believe in it. If I put the money there and deposit it with a third person, you'll believe it, right? You'll do it. But because you don't believe, oh, chanting Hare Krishna, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. You know, it's nice to be a Hari Bowl. It's nice to have some prasadam once in a while, you know, free food in the morning. Then you're not so determined. Determination comes from belief. You can't blame your stars. You know, people have this blame. Well, I can't get up early in the morning because my Jupiter's in the wrong place. I'll tell you about astrology. It's all excuse for our own laziness and lack of belief and everything like that. I'll tell you an interesting story. Everybody here knows Kala Sambar. He's the temple president in Auckland, New Zealand. So his wife was in the car with Srila Gurudev, and his wife passed away, you know, through the accident. Well, they had gone to, let's say, 50 astrologers, and every astrologer and palmist said that she was going to live to 80 years of old age. So what happened? She passed away at 40, right? So what can he do? Can he go and sue the astrologer, take the astrologer to court? So we have so many excuses why we can't do things. Well, I have a stomach ache. Well, I have bad horoscope. I'm in my Saturn period. Is Saturn period, right? You heard that before? You know, in 11 years, when I get out of my Saturn period, I'm going to be a good devotee. So many excuses. But if you have faith, you'll do it. If you believe, you'll do it. If you believe, this simply by serving Krishna, then you'll do it. You'll wake up early. You'll chant your rounds every day. Because it's true. Krishna consciousness is real. You may not believe it. It's real. It is real. You can go back to God, and you can realize you're not the body. You can associate with Krishna in the spiritual world. That is my experience. It's real. It's not something, it's not just another group, you know, where we, like the Hari Bowlers Club. Bowlers, you know, bowlers. It's not like that. It's real. But who believes it? Prabhupada said, you don't really believe that Krishna is God. It's just you're doing it because it's a cultural thing, because you've been doing it for the last 30 years. Anyway, I believe that Krishna is God. I believe that Prabhupada is Krishna's pure representative. I believe that serving Prabhupada's institution and movement will get me to the highest goal. I believe that the holy name is non-different from Krishna. I believe. Really, fully, 100%. And then you go, then you become a spirit Krishna conscious. That's faith. You understand? That's full faith. Okay. Time to end. All glories to the fine grace. Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai.